Hello, everyone. You are listening to PSG Lopes, also known as the Moonlit Goddess. You are listening to my podcast with the hint of Moonlit Madness. This is episode 4, an evening with the Moonlit Goddess. I decided to do a little bit of a poetry reading slash concert for you guys, showcasing my work from my various dark musings, poetry anthologies. What I'm going to do is I'm going to talk a little bit about the pieces that I'm going to be reading and or singing. Some of the poems were originally meant as songs, so I'll sing those to you, and also some of them are going to be mixed with me reading and some singing. These poems and the melodies are my own. They just came to me as I was writing them. When I created the Dark Musings Poetry Anthology series, I did it with the intention that it would be kind of mixed with song lyrics, poems, and things like that, but never manifested into a full-fledged song, songwriting and singing. So I would do like singles here and there. Those of you who have been following me from the very beginning know that in recovery, I was able to outsource that to a company that made a demo of that song, and that's featured on my website. So in recovery, that sample is not of me singing, but I will be singing in recovery myself today. During this presentation, also my other song, John of Art, which is also featured both in Volume 1 Origins and in my novella, John of Art, in the audiobook version. The narrator who did the narration for the book also included my song at the very end. She was very kind to do that for me, and that is of me singing as well. So you'll hear me sing John of Art at the very end. So basically the format is going to be me reading or singing each piece. I'll announce the piece. I'll tell you which anthology it came from. I'll discuss a little bit of my thought process of me writing, what was my inspiration with each piece. So without further ado, here it comes, An Evening with the Moonlit Goddess. So the very first piece that I'm going to do for you is from my Volume 1 Origins. It's called Divinia and Peace. This piece was meant to be part of a three-part novel series that I never brought to light. Maybe in the future I will write it, but it's just something that kind of inspired me. This is one of the pieces that is part spoken and part sung, and the melody just came to me. I'm always a little like worried to include the melodies because I'm very like conscious about like other people's work as well, so I don't want it to sound similar to other people's work. But from what I think and from my experience, I think they're all original, and if it sounds like something else, it's completely 100% unintentional. These are all my copyrighted works. They're all from my poetry anthology series. So here is Divinia at Peace. Those eyes of cerulean glass, they bear your soul, for it is where I belong. You are my family, the peace I've been missing all along. I had put all my energy trying to push you away. Now you're dying. You're dying. You're leaving me. What was I thinking? Don't you go. Take my hand. Save us all. Love me like you used to. You're all I need. Let the world fall to its knees. This is me, your Divinia. Divinia at peace. My dark warrior, those markings serve as scars. I saw right through you. I have finally melted your heart. I'll be right here. I'll be exactly what you need. Just please don't ever, ever try to leave. What was I thinking? Don't you go. Take my hand. Save us all. Love me like you used to. You're all I need. Let the world fall. Fall to its knees. This is me, oh Divinia. Divinia at peace. This is me, oh Divinia. Divinia at peace. The next piece that I'll be reading is called The Window. This is the very first poem that I included in my Volume 1 Origins. When I grew up in Yonkers, New York, in a very dangerous area, and I lived in an apartment, and I lived on the first floor, and all I had to entertain myself as a small child was the screen window outside. Wasn't really allowed to go out to play because it was just so dangerous. So it was just how my thoughts and my feelings as I was looking out the window, and that was the inspiration for this poem. It's also another spoken, half-sung kind of poem, so without further ado. The Window. Some smells you just don't forget. The water from the warm summer rain brings me back to those days. Hours staring out of that rectangular screen, life's TV. I watched others live their lives, not realizing that every moment I watched them live, I was wasting my own life, my own life. Those whispers calling me. Where'd you go? I'm by the window. I'm the weirdo by the window. Many years passed since those times, but the dreams of those times still haunt me. I still see life through that metal screen, that metallic smell never leaving me. That tiny room was all I knew, a childhood prison. No friends, no one to talk to, just the world I imagined, this made-up life. Those whispers still call out to me. Where'd you go? I'm by the window. I'm the weirdo by the window. The next poem that I'm going to read is called Wrong Door, and that is featured in my third poetry anthology book, The Wilted Perennials of Yesteryear. That was a very tumultuous time in my life that I wrote this particular poetry anthology. I was going through several dark moments in my personal life, and one of the most traumatic was watching my father diminish with his dementia. And also, that's another thing for a lot of people who have been following me from the beginning. Understand that my relationship with my father was very complicated before his diagnosis, so there was a grieving process throughout his diagnosis, and there was a lot of feelings of anger and resentment, and that was carried from the past relationship. But as he was getting sicker, there was an evolution going on throughout that part of our lives, and I was, like I said, going through the grieving process of denial and anger and all that, all at once and on repeat. So it was cyclical, and it was going on and on and on. And you can see the progression of my work of going from extreme anger and pain, and then edging towards forgiveness. So I think revisiting it and going back and looking at that transition is quite beautiful, as well as painful, because you can clearly see, it's very palpable, my anger and my resentment, but at the same time, there's beauty to be seen in that recovery process and of the grieving and accepting and moving forward and evolving and changing. I changed so much being his caregiver, and I learned a lot about empathy and compassion and letting things go and living for myself and not the pain of the past. And it takes an extraordinary strength and energy to get to that point. And you can clearly see it. It's very visible. And the next two pieces that I'll be reading is Wrong Door is the first one, and then The Broken Pieces of Me. So there's that shift from anger edging more towards forgiveness as you hear the two pieces back to back. And also another thing that was going on around the same time was the breakup of my relationship with my ex-fiance. That was very traumatic for me. And it's going through two grieving processes at once. It was going with what was happening with my father, and at the same time I was grieving and mourning the loss of my ex and my relationship and the life that we were forging together. So it was that like denial, that unbelievability that I was stuck like in this life that I created for myself, and a lot of self-blame, and also just observing the things that were going on around, like very chaotic and tumultuous, and just you can see like just the, like this, it's very unsettled, and a lot of emotions and anger and grief, and it's heavy. This piece is very heavy for me, so it's interesting to be able to read this one out loud for you all. This was written in 2018, so this has been quite a few years, so I definitely don't exhibit those feelings anymore, but it's still such a strong piece, and it's worth revisiting to kind of just see that evolution and to be reminded of how far I've grown as an individual, and it's quite it's a unique experience to be able to see my thought process from that point. That's why I enjoy writing poetry so much, is that it's always there, and it's kind of like a time capsule, and you'll always be able to go back and see the kind of person you were, and like, I don't identify as this person, and it's almost as if someone else had written it. Like, that's how different I am compared to that mentality, where I was at mentally when I wrote this originally. So, all right, without further ado, this is Wrong Door. This is featured in Volume 3, The Wilted Perennials of Yesteryear. By the way, I didn't mention this before, but all of my poetry anthology series are on paperback and ebook edition on Amazon. If you follow me on Instagram, that's the best way to see my stuff. I kind of like send my work over onto Facebook and Tumblr and Twitter, but I'm most active on Instagram, so you can find my links and stuff like that through my Instagram, The Moonlit Goddess. At The Moonlit Goddess is where you'll find me. All right, so this is Wrong Door. My bags sit packed in the lowly bird room today. Wrong door. The clock heard ticking in the distance. My flight was all set to leap. Wrong door. Can I keep the threatening demons at bay? Wrong door. Can I will myself to walk out the clearly marked exit that's there, that there's a future I can believe? Wrong door. Mutated brains, a zombie, somnambulist, a stranger he has become. Wrong door. He spits and snots and sneezes over my breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Wrong door. The yelling, the fighting, the shouting, I view from a distance while imbibing my coke and rum. Wrong door. The alternative view of where I should have been had I left, watching the old frail man get thinner. Wrong door. The distance as the crow flies, 5,032. Wrong door. Will the incessant racket ever stop? Arguing humans in person and on screen. Wrong door. 26 cats and 2 dogs last counted. No wonder I'm feeling blue. Wrong door. Wonder where my love is now, all alone with the ocean and I between. Wrong door. He's flaccid, deflated, withered, decayed, near ash, levitating in the wind. Wrong door. He's touching things again, the warden yells. I covered my ears once more. Wrong door. The elder's beard whitened and remains disheveled, untrimmed. Wrong door. The camera shows him laying neck crooked on his urine-soaked floor. Wrong door. The happening these eyes have seen. Oh, please release me of this fright. Wrong door. The warden further wails in anger as she cries. Wrong door. Every hour passing by when I could have left his miserable sight. Wrong door. Inappropriate advances, the gelatinous mass, all that tissue which had long ago died. Wrong door. The strongly heard shouts will soon be whisked away by the ocean's insistent tides. Wrong door. The waves I'll envisage crashing, dancing ghosts of horrors was witnessed. Wrong door. To once again kiss my long-lost beloved, to finally become his bride. Wrong door. I'll soon look at the warden without his putrid hate. I shall allow my heart to open and avail myself to forgiveness. Wrong door. This is The Broken Pieces of Me. The early dawn holds secrets which no man knows. The clock it ticks as the rooster of Barcelos crows. These buried lies which no man should see, lies the dark, broken pieces of me. The story begins with this shy little girl, whose dress of white sparkled and shone as it twirled. Her hand met the colorful ceramic rooster, now crushed, frayed, a tinted alabaster, wailing banshee, lies the dark, broken pieces of me. Her mother spent years gluing the rooster together. The seasons would change along with the weather. Her father was busy, no time for his daughter. Alone under the diseased hollow tree, lies the dark, broken pieces of me. Days passed, nights did too. The rooster unsettled squawks well afternoon. Her father yelled as she asked him for his help. What's 3 minus 3? Lies the dark, broken pieces of me. Meu paizinho, my daddy in Portuguese, so proud and so virile, cocked the rooster amongst the breeze. Who would have ever had the sense to foresee? Lies the dark, broken pieces of me. Years later, the rooster aged, its parts never fully fused. Father sick, mind scattered, losing all his feathers, a traumatized ego bruised. You know my name. You named me. My name is not Marie. Lies the dark, broken pieces of me. Birthdays passed, holidays too, as my sense of nostalgia grew and grew. My hatred of you, the rooster mournfully cries. How cruel can you be? Lies the dark, broken pieces of me. Time passed, my anger has never ceased. The pain manifests itself in every crease. Will I ever be able to truly break free? Lies the dark, broken pieces of me. The spring and the summer's a most memorable youth. You took me to Tibbetts, to Glen Island, even encouraged my sweet tooth. As I got older, my voice became a lonely echo, carried away by the sea. Lies the dark, broken pieces of me. I am stupid. No, I don't know French. Comment allez-vous? I am a tick, a bloodsucker, always hanging on top of you. I am a nobody, inconsequential, invisible to thee. Lies the dark, broken pieces of me. The rooster sobs as he mourns for my dignity, as you sat and ignored me through the roaring of the TV, the yelling, the fighting, as I served as the nightly referee. Lies the dark, broken pieces of me. So sad that I can still say that I loved you the most, even now that the rooster recognizes you as merely a miserable ghost. The tears, the heartache, the memories, that from which I flee, lies the dark, broken pieces of me. The gallows, they soon call you, the rope wraps tightly around your neck as I struggle myself to care for you, performing nightly bed checks. Bearing the sole responsibility, I am now the holder of the key, lies the dark, broken pieces of me. The laughter, the joy, the nearly inaudible sounds of pitter-patter, of stolen moments of happiness when you weren't around the day the rooster shattered. I will never forgive the oozing wounds of anguish, the stinging of the bee. Lies the dark, broken pieces of me. If you were still you, would you feel any remorse? Would you reverse the damage done by will or by force? Would you have loved me at all? The rooster tends to disagree. Lies the dark, broken pieces of me. The next piece that I'm going to read is from my Volume 1 Origins. I added this as one of the bonuses for Volume 1. This one was written in 2019. It's called Hummingbird on a Hamster Wheel. And I had written this for my ex. It was a way for me to kind of forgive what was done and to try to move on to the next phase of my life. This was a difficult one to work on. There was a lot of feelings of hurt and betrayal and all that, and I was working out my grief at the same time, as I mentioned, of my father being ill, so it was a lot to take on at once. So this is Hummingbird on a Hamster Wheel from Volume 1, Origins. The frailty of you, my little hummingbird, across the moonlit fields of poppies you promised me, longing for sense and purpose, bouncing from nectar-filled blossoms from regions unknown, so frightened of the darkness, the oblivion, once climbing down your hamster wheel, your travels munificent, won't you send me a postcard? I feel the wind from the affable aileron flailing and thrashing past my tear-streaked cheeks. You, a thimble-sized madness, calories burned with the bridges you ignited along with them, across the moonlit fields of poppies you stole from me. Oh, it was you, sweet hummingbird, whose image I longed for daily, but I could not catch you, for you were never mine to start. A passenger on that hamster wheel with no destination, no real sense of where you're headed. Your mind energetic yet profligate, leaving me to ponder whether your existence a mere fabrication in my mind. You must keep going, wings flapping, never to stop. You've traveled far with so many stories to tell. You have another stamp on your passport while I sit here of daydreams of us laying across the moonlit fields of poppies you grew for me. Portraits splashing of pre-Raphaelite colors surrounding my memories of you, sweet hummingbird. Happily ever after, a chimera, I now realize, as you try to flee from that dastardly hamster wheel. The dance of hope you promised me, the promise of everlasting love you stole from me, stealing words, ideas, and time you grew for me. Forgiveness has grown here, across the moonlit fields of poppies you painted me. The next two poems are from my fourth poetry anthology, Brick by Brick. This first one that I'm reading is called To My Inner Child. This actually was one of the catalysts that struck the whole concept of Brick by Brick for me. I started going to therapy this past summer, and I had told my therapist, I was like, I don't do homework. So she was like, okay, will you do at least one thing for me? And I said, okay. And she said, can you write a letter to your inner child? And I said, you know what? That might be a little bit difficult for me. That's why I like poetry so much, because even though you are spilling your guts out, so to speak, it's kind of like a hidden code, like a cipher. It's something that is between you and the paper, and reading it back, even though it'll spark memories, it's not as raw as if you were to just write blatant prose that you'd read through and obviously know everything. It would be too much for me to write such a letter. So I asked her, can we compromise? Can I write a poem instead to my inner child? She's like, oh, that's a really good idea. She's like, that speaks to your creativity. This is like your comfort zone. So absolutely, you can do a poem. So I wrote this. And I read it to her, and she was blown away, and she was like, oh my god, that was amazing. And she understood me enough, she knew me well enough to know what I was talking about. It was easy to tell, like, based on everything that I was telling her about my past. So she was really impressed, and that whole, like, validation really, like, was the beginning of me developing enough self-esteem and confidence to really, like, want to attempt to do this again, because I was writing and writing and writing, and that lack of belief in me and my abilities, the lack of support, because it comes a time where you're doing this constantly and you're not seeing the financial gain, and people are beginning to like lose faith in you too, so that was damaging to me mentally. So having her read this, and you know that you can tell the difference between people blowing smoke up your ass and people that are genuine, like, in their surprise and their like wow, this is really good. So I got that feeling from her, and I felt that it was genuine, and it really, like, uplifted me wholeheartedly. And with this, it became this whole thing, and I had the confidence also to do a poetry reading in person, and most of you that know me, I'm very introverted, so that was, like, one of the most difficult things that I ever did in my life since, like, I was a kid. Like, obviously, as a kid, you do a lot of, like, concerts, and like, you have to do, like, speeches in class and stuff like that, so I haven't done anything like that in a long time. I was an educator, too, but that's different. Like, when you're used to your class, they know you, and it's different reading in something in front of them, whereas you're reading a poem to a bunch of strangers, so you don't know how that feedback is going to be taken. There's, like, it's just, it's a very different platform for me. So this whole thing began because of this poem that I'm going to be reading right now to my inner child. So without further ado, here is To My Inner Child. This is from my Dark Poetry, or Dark Musings Poetry Anthology, Volume 4, Brick by Brick. This is a letter to you, my child, to you, my child, to you, my inner child. You'll never know peace in life, and this I'm right. Like the dew-covered petals floating through the night, you're left to roam wild. The moonlight still shines, 40-some-odd years later I've reconciled. The rage deep within you, untamed waves thrashing to shore. This is a letter to you, my child, to you, my child, to you, my inner child. The whirling typhoons wreak havoc on your poor heart. Many have mocked and smiled. I don't know where you'll find the energy to go on, but believe me, you will. And you'll continue to do so each and every day. Like the dew-covered petals floating through the night, you're left to roam wild. They hated you, my dear, criticized and laughed. You just stared as they reviled. Turn the hatred in their words into gentle songs and praise. This is a letter to you, my child, to you, my child, to you, my inner child. Trek into the woods, the birds chirping, you watched, awed and beguiled. The fever consumes you, and it's reaching its highest peak. Like the dew-covered petals floating through the night, you're left to roam wild. Are you even listening to me lament and wail? Oh, this list I've compiled. But you are stronger, and they know that. They know that, oh little one. This is a letter to you, my child, to you, my child, to you, my inner child. Like the dew-covered petals floating through the night, you're left to roam wild. The next poem that I'm going to read is also from the fourth anthology, Brick by Brick. This one is called The Suicidal Wasp. This one was based off of my absolute terror of bees and wasps, and by my office in the window in the one a rainstorm in the summer, a wasp had settled and unfortunately died unknowingly to me when it was raining, so it like drowned and it stayed there, and it's like in between the two panels. So I always thought that that was a bit ironic, since I'm like absolutely terrified of bees, and the wasp is just there and it's not decomposing, and there's no way for me to like get it out of in between the panels. So it's like a constant reminder to me of my fears, but it's also symbolic of other fears of like getting out into the world and just coping with my mental health issues, my complex post-traumatic stress, and everything of that I've dealt with as a caregiver to my parents. So it's very complicated, this poem, and it's it was a hard one to write because given my mental health issues, I can't speak for everyone else, but in this particular journey of mine, I have grappled with thoughts of suicide and that feeling of entrapment and things not improving and things staying the same and not being able to dig myself out of this hell that is like created by myself, essentially. I created this version of hell myself, but trying to, like, dig myself out and how difficult it is, and just that constant reminder of failures, and that's that little wasp is just a constant reminder of, like, something that I am weak at, like my fears, my phobias, things that are holding me back, like taunting me. Like, that's the mindset for this piece, the Suicidal Wasp. So without further ado, this is The Suicidal Wasp, volume 4. With you I suffered, it's with you I suffer the most. Look at you, my arch nemesis, staring at me through my own window. You see what they're doing to me, yet you do nothing. You let the nightmare persist, watching me as I dance all alone. The moonlight serves as the only illumination in this dank, musty room. The shadow of my tears reminds me of you, my suicidal wasp, dead upon my window pane. With you I suffered, it's with you I suffered the most. Slow, slow to decay, your corpse, a perfect husk of your former body, reminding me of every memory of your short life, dying to get in, while I'm truly dying to get out. The pain, like arthritis, withers and gnarls the bones of my very soul. The loneliness ravages the blood of my very existence. With you I suffered, it's with you I suffer the most. Dancing, dancing with me, right outside my window. The moonlight projects the shadows of my tears as you watch me fall apart. I'm being buried alive. I wake up to your limp body turned upside down, lifeless, no more pain. Turns out the rain was your arch nemesis, but I'm bitter. I'll never mourn you. You stood there. You mocked. You watched. You pantomimed. With you I suffered. It's with you I suffer the most. So goodbye, you velvet ant. You vespid. You sphecoid wasp. You hymenopterous insect. You are dead now. I'll let you go. You did not help me. I did not help you. I never liked you. But I gather you were never my number one fan either. So, dream now of a better life we both never had. I'll make a fist and drink in the enmity of you until I draw my very own last breath. Because with you I suffered, it's with you I suffer the most. The next two poems are going to be sung completely. They were originally written as songs. The next one is In Recovery, and that is featured in my Origins. And it's volume 1 of my poetry anthology series. And this one was in response to a very abusive friendship that I had with an individual. And it was romantic but bordering on abusive, and I was young, in my 20s, when I dealt with this, and I didn't realize at the time that it was so toxic, and I was still learning about relationships and such. So this really affected me deeply, and I blamed myself a lot over the years, making me think that it was my fault that things didn't work out, but I realized that we just were not meant to be, that it was a very toxic partnership, and it just was never meant to be. But this really came to me immediately, and the melody and everything, it was just like tugging at me to be written and to be sung, and I'm really proud of this piece. And this was the song that I mentioned to you earlier in the beginning, that I had this outsourced by a company to create a demo. So a professional singer and a professional guitarist put together music, but it was my melody completely, and I just told them what I had expected for it to sound like, and they pretty much followed through. Unfortunately, I don't really have any musical accompaniment for these two songs, so it's going to be completely my own voice. I realize that I'm no Taylor Swift, and no Lady Gaga, but this was something that I was passionate about, and I really enjoyed singing both of these. So, In Recovery is in Volume 1, Origins, and so is Joan of Arc, but Joan of Arc is also featured in my novella of the same name, Joan of Arc. In the audiobook at the very end, you hear me singing that as well. So this is In Recovery. You are not from this world, I can see it in your eyes. So dark and so cold, you're all that I despise. Somehow you let me love you. Watch how the sun has shone through. Now you're gone, nothing's left. What am I to do? Now I'm in, I'm in, I'm in, I'm in, I'm in, I'm in, I'm in. Oh, I'm in. I'm in recovery. Take my hand, please don't leave me alone. You left too many times, my heart has turned to stone. Watch the dark clouds as they hover over me. And now you're gone, nothing's left. What am I to do? Now I'm in, I'm in, I'm in, I'm in. Oh, I'm in, I'm in. Oh, I'm in, I'm in, I'm in, I'm in recovery. You and I are so entwined, I am bound to you. I give and you take, yet I stand the abuse. No matter how hard I try, can't shake the memory of you. Now you're gone, nothing's left. What am I to do? Now I'm in, I'm in, I'm in, I'm in, I'm in, I'm in. Oh, I'm in, I'm in, I'm in, I'm in recovery. You made me love you. I don't know what life was like before you stumbled through my door. You're gone, I can't breathe, heal me. Now I'm in, I'm in. Oh, I'm in, I'm in. Oh, I'm in, I'm in. Oh, I'm in, I'm in, I'm in. I'm in recovery. All right, so the last piece that I'm going to do for you today is Joan of Arc. As I mentioned, this is in Origins Volume 1. It's also in my novella, in the audiobook at the very end. You'll hear that song and it's me singing. Joan of Arc, the novella, is a fictional account of what I went through in the beginning of the phases of my father's dementia. It's completely fictional, the work, but the experiences are very, very similar to what I went through and my family went through. So it's a very personal piece for me. So the song is just a reflection of the story in the book, and also my feelings also of my father. In a fictional sense, but also it's a, like I said, it's a mirror reflection in a fictional tone. So this is Joan of Arc. Here we go. There is an outlaw so different from the rest. He knows no rules. He passes no tests. No honor among men. But respect he shall command, I say. Who is your daddy, this egregious man? He's not a martyr, he's a sinner, he's a thief gone mad. He's a John of Arc, are you a sinner or a man? This John of Arc, are you a sinner or a man? This John of Arc, his mind is lost and long forgotten. His own children now dust, he's a ghost in his own home. So desperate to be found, just wanting to be known. Tell me, who is your daddy, this egregious man? He's not a martyr, he's a sinner, he's a thief gone mad. He's a John of Arc, are you a sinner or a man? This John of Arc, are you a sinner or a man? This John of Arc, are you a sinner or a man? This John of Arc, are you a sinner or a man? This John of Arc, are you a sinner or a man? This John of Arc, are you a sinner or a man? This John of Arc. I know that when I first presented this song to people, they were like, well, why are you repeating that last part so many times? And the intention was it to emulate like a heartbeat kind of slowing down. So it's very symbolic for me. So I know that a lot of people were like, oh, that doesn't sound very good. But that was my artistic license that I took doing that. It was meant to be symbolic for me, like just to, like the cessation of life slowing down and just like a heartbeat kind of just eventually muting and ceasing to exist. So that was the intention of that. So this wraps up the evening with the Moonlit Goddess. This was so much fun to do, and I'm so glad to present my work to you in the intention that it was originally written. Some spoken word and some mixed in with some singing in between. So I appreciate you taking the time to listening to my work. I hope that it resonated with some of you, and I hope that you check out the rest of my work. I am in the process of working on some things to maybe make an audiobook of my poetry, but that's going to come later on because I don't have an appropriate setup for that. As you can tell from this recording, it's not the greatest quality, and you hear cars and other like feedback in the background. I'm not in a financial position yet to be doing the audiobooks, but I really am hoping to do that someday in the future for you. When I get all my ducks in a row, and this year seems to be very positive for me. Everything's going well, thankfully, and it's going at the rate that all my goals are being fulfilled one by one, very slowly, given my financial situation, but it is finally heading in the direction that I want it to go. So I'm very hopeful that I will get more of this out to you as time progresses. But thank you once again. This was PSG Lopes, also known as the Moonlit Goddess. You are listening to my podcast with a hint of Moonlit Madness. This is episode 4, An Evening with the Moonlit Goddess. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen, and I hope you are all doing well. Thank you.